Hey guys, welcome back. This is your host, Ed Pizza. Little bit of an audible this week. Spent the last few days losing my voice and not being able to talk pretty much at all, and so I haven't been able to record a new guest for our Now Boarding podcast. So we're reaching back into the vaults, and we're going to start with the very first episode I ever recorded, which is one of my favorites, not just because it was the beginning, but Gilbert, my buddy from God Save the Points, and I had a great time getting together at a conference in Las Vegas and recording the very first episode of the Now Boarding podcast. If you've already listened to the episode, my apologies. We'll have brand new content for you next week. My my old tired body just couldn't get it done this week for you guys, but promise we'll be back on pace for next week. And if you didn't get Gilbert the first time he was on the show 6 or 7 months ago, I really hope you'll enjoy the listen. Thanks for being patient, guys. We'll see you next week.
Now Boarding, the official boarding area podcast, would like to welcome aboard all listeners. This nonstop service includes interviews, reviews, and insights from our talented crew of bloggers. Episode number one is Now Boarding.
Welcome aboard Now Boarding Episode 1. Joining Captain Pete in the cockpit on today's episode is Gilbert Ott from God Save the Points. Make sure those tray tables are stowed, your seats are in the upright position. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Now Boarding Podcast, the official boarding area podcast. I'm your host, Ed Pizza. You can find me at pizzainmotion.com. Gilbert and I are together in Las Vegas right now for a travel conference. We just finished a really awesome dinner, and we figured we'd sit down and just have a good conversation about him and his blog and, you know, where it's going and where it's been. Gilbert is...
I hope it'll be more interesting than that.
I hope it will be too. What I learned about Gilbert before we even got to recording is that he's from New York just like I am, but lives in the UK now. And, I think that's probably a great place to start. What was it that got you from New York to the UK?
Well, that's a question that might take some time, but... long story short, my wife is from the UK, and we met in New York while she was working and living there, and we met, unfortunately, when she decided to return there, and so I had to bring her back to New York, and then eventually, in the long run, she won the argument, and we are now living in the UK.
Women always seem to win that one.
It's amazing. The success rate should be studied. It's one of
So how long have you been out of New York and in the UK?
So we just moved to the UK this year. Mm-hmm. We've been in New York, and I started blogging from New York about 4 years ago now.
Okay. And so you've had the travel bug for a while, if you will. What was it that got you started down the road of wanting to travel the world?
It's really interesting. I think as a kid, as we were talking earlier, some kind of things really stand out to you from a young age, and I think I remember the first time my family went to the Caribbean, and I had never seen water that looked like that. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. This looks like my swimming, not that I had a swimming pool, but this looks like, a swimming pool. It's like, this is pretty cool, and then you go another place and like, wow, these mountains are like bigger than I've ever seen, or this city is really bright. And from there, I think once you have seen those things, you want to see more of those things. I think it's a very natural progression. And then as a kid, I played a lot of tennis, and I was lucky to travel through that. And so that kind of really began the obsession of planes, trains, automobiles, any way to get where I needed to go, and just loving the experience of travel, however it may be.
Yeah, I like your comments about traveling as part of when you were playing tennis, in that it's great. I love it when I see people use something that's a functional part of their life to reach out and see the world. And it sounds like you did a great job taking advantage of your opportunities to see places that you were traveling for tennis.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I consider myself very lucky to get to do that. And so I from a young age, I'm from New York, but I went to California, I went to Florida, I even went to Australia when I was 13 to play, and so these are the, you know, it was life-changing to me, and I hadn't been to Australia in a long time, but it was the place that I kind of really wanted to go back to, because it was one of the first places that really struck me.
Yeah. In that way, so. And when that first time you went, where did you go?
I went to Sydney.
Yeah.
And then we moved over to New Zealand from there, so we did like Sydney and Auckland. It was pretty basic. I think we might have gone to Waiheke Island. I need to kind of check the itinerary, but because at that age, I don't think it really resonated with me where we were all the time. But yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I got to Australia for the first time recently and couldn't believe how it was even better than I thought it could be. It definitely got my juices flowing. You know, as far as blogging.
And this isn't sponsored by the Australian Tourism
Board. Yeah. We're going to call them right after the episode and see if we could squeeze in a couple of commercial reads. So you never know.
But it is that. But it is that good.
It is that good. By the time we get to the 10-minute mark and we drop in the first commercial break, it might be sponsored by Australia. We're going to work on that. So what got you into blogging?
It's a very fair question, and I think many people's answer would be very similar. It's desire to take a certain skill set or knowledge and translate it to people. For me, it was a desire to take what are seen as very kind of jargon-oriented, complex topics and make it something that my friends who don't play the game could understand. I think there's something very cool about that, very valuable about that, and as my friends would probably lament, I like to tell stories, and so I thought if I could maybe find a way to convey some of this stuff in a digestible way, that would be worth doing. And so that's pretty much how I started blogging. And it's funny, you know, it's amazing being on Boarding Area and on this podcast because Gary Leff, like, you know, one of my favorite bloggers, and he's one of the main reasons I started. I loved what he was doing and I thought he was really cool. And I thought, like, you know, I would love to have that impact on somebody's travels. And he actually responded to me. Like, I emailed him when I first started, and he said, keep going, man. And I did. And so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's funny because I'm sure you have a moment in your mind where you remember very early on when somebody who you didn't know responded to you and said, hey, thanks so much for, you know, fill in the blank, helping them get to a special place or something. But that recognition that what you're writing, those numbers that appear in Google Analytics aren't really just numbers, they're people. And you're helping them. And I think that's a cool aspect that a lot of us find from blogging.
Yeah, I think you said it as well as you can say it, really. It's kind of the X factor of it all. It's really cool, and I love seeing the Google Analytics go up every month, and luckily they have been. But for me, it is when you do reach somebody on a one-to-one level, and as much as I love some of the other comments, I genuinely do love the feeling when somebody says, I never expected I would do this or that, or be able to do it in this or the, you know, certain way, fly business class, or, you know, stay in a great hotel, or just go somewhere far away. You know, like, we're seeing so many amazing economy deals these days, you know, where people are jetting off to Hong Kong and Bali and whatnot for under $400. And, you know, Chicago's more expensive sometimes. And so for me, when you have that very one-to-one feedback, it's everything. And admittedly, I'm one of the worst people at responding to emails. But because of Gary, if I ever get an email from someone saying, I love your blog and I really want to start one, do you have any ideas or tips? I always respond to those.
I can certainly appreciate that. And, you know, I think you bring up an interesting comment about the price of airline tickets and how that I don't want to say democratizes travel because I think that term's a little bit overplayed. But when you and I were both sort of getting into blogging and traveling, it was a lot more expensive to do this. And so I feel like the drop in price, if you will, helps us be able to encourage people to travel more. And I've seen you blog about travel deals and encourage folks, you know, hey, like, you know, another continent is $400 away.
Yeah, I think that's probably my favorite part of all of it. I love the loyalty stuff, and I find the psychology of, you know, spending so much to attain things that may actually be nothing at the end of the day. Like, it's a fascinating game, but I really think there's an interesting space ahead with, especially with dynamic fares and the way airlines can target people and offer these really quick deals. I think it's a really neat time ahead as far as how many people are going to get to travel. Like this afternoon, I wrote one up about $149 one-way flights to Amsterdam. And they're legitimately $149. Like, they don't require the round trip like some of the other airlines do. It's $149. And, you know, if you happen to have one credit card bonus or something in one of these tickets, you're going round trip to Europe for...
Yeah, and that's such a difference in the way things are today versus where they were, you know, even 3 or 4 years ago. There's so many cheap flights nowadays. You know, if somebody's not familiar with your blog, help them understand what areas I say let's divide up in two buckets. First, you know, the sort of things that you're an expert on, and in the other bucket, it's things that you love to talk about that they might expect to see regularly on God Save the Point.
Well, as an expert in the power of suggestion, I suggest you start reading frequently so that this is the last time I answer this question on this podcast. All jokes aside, I would consider myself an expert in finding deals. That's something that I do on an hourly, daily basis. I don't do anything that is going to get me shut down by the NSA, but I employ every, you know, tactic, and I think there's a lot of things that people can replicate, which is why I'm passionate about it. I still think I'll find more than you will, but you know, I love if you're finding great deals too, especially if you share them with me, you know? So I can blog about it first. But I love that. I'm very passionate about transatlantic European travel. It's something that made a huge impact on my life. It's what brought me to my wife.
Yeah.
And you know, we flew economy for a year back and forth every month. Oh. Like, we both had flexible jobs, but every month for a year we flew economy. And that was one of the simple things where I said to her, just join a loyalty program. Even if the ticket's $50 more expensive here or there, you know, sometimes you'll win, sometimes you'll lose. It'll be worth it after this year because we're committing to this. And at the end of the year, we took an amazing like business class trip. And that's when it clicked for her. You know, she doesn't really do this kind of stuff. And so I think the deals, obviously, we mentioned, but the really simplistic, happy value redemptions, the things where you can instantly translate something simple from your life, like your daily expenditures or whatever, into a flight or a trip or, you know, a hotel stay, which will really change the way you feel about things. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. It's amazing when your significant other connects and understands the, you know, what's out there.
And then the last thing I would say, I liked snarky comments about like the places that have been ruined by tourists and, you know, those kind of things. It's a little bit of destination, and I'm known to like a drink or two every now and again.
Every now and again.
Just every now and again. Never more than that. Never more than one or two. But I also like writing about cocktails, and so you might find some content about the best bars to go in certain cities. Not that people ever do that.
Never, and especially not in Las Vegas either. There's no bars here. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break on the Now Boarding podcast. When we come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about what places Gilbert likes to visit and how he likes to travel. The Now Boarding podcast is brought to you in part by Norwegian Air. Norwegian is one of the fastest-growing airlines in the world. The low-cost carrier is based in Europe and continues to connect cities that have never been connected before. Their most recent flights include nonstop service from Florida to Rome, Madrid, and Stockholm. They've also launched new service from Montreal to the Caribbean and from the Toronto area to Dublin. With a fleet of brand new 787 and 737 MAX airplanes, they're making the world affordable for thousands of travelers. And we're back on the Now Boarding podcast with Gilbert from God Save the Points. You know, we haven't really talked yet about how you like to travel. Let's start by letting folks know, is most of your travel for work? Is it for pleasure? You know, let's start there.
It's kind of the James Bond question, really. you know, as I as I have transitioned to becoming a full-time blogger, most of my work I would always consider to be pleasure and vice versa. So, you know, I may be in a first class seat on a trip where I don't have anyone I'm technically working for, but I'm still taking pictures, I'm still editing pictures, I'm shooting stuff. And so I would say I work for myself now through my blog, which is a very satisfying feeling. And so I don't work I don't travel for work per se, but I'm always traveling for work, if that makes sense.
You're not going to a destination for work. You're absorbing experiences for the blog, so you're combining the two.
Occasionally, if it's something to do with an airline or a hotel, I will go for the day, and mm-hmm. I would consider that work because I'm on their time and their schedule, and
sure.
they pick everything, and I just roll with it. But I do as much personal travel as I can because I do like to travel.
How much are you going back and forth now between the U.S. and Europe?
So this year will be a lot quieter. There was a period last year where I was probably doing 2 or 3 a month. But this year, one a month, maybe 2 months max. It's a lot quieter, more intra-European for me this year. I think it's one of the best things about getting to Europe is just how affordable and easy it is to yeah. travel around. Whereas as much as I love the great state of Pennsylvania, New York to Pennsylvania in an hour and a half or whatever just doesn't have the same feeling as London to, you know, southern tip of
yeah, I
France
agree.
Or something like that.
You know, I agree. The travel in Europe is much more interesting for those short destinations you can cover.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
And I would say that most of the people listening will look up and say only one trip back and forth between the U.S. and Europe a month is maybe 11 more than they get to do a year.
I'm doing 2 in 6 days this week. So,
dear Lord. You know, even me who travels a lot, that just makes me feel tired.
Yeah. The other 28 days a month or whatever, I'm pretty laid back. I'm not really yeah. doing much. I live a very simple, boring life. But those few days where I am traveling, it's intense.
What are some of your favorite places to visit?
So just to clue everyone in, at dinner, we had a great Japanese dinner. We were talking about Japan. It's yeah. absolutely one of my favorite places. My wife and I kind of split hairs with this one in the best of ways, where we really love a great cultural city and taking in the quintessential experiences like sushi in Tokyo, tea in London, you know, like whatever you want to say. But then we also just, she especially, I would say, loves a really quiet beach time. But for both of us, Tokyo is like an annual rite of passage. Japan as a whole is a rite of passage. And as Ed can testify here, I'm a slightly oversized, brute-looking American man, and I'm the kind of person that will walk into your hotel room and knock over the really nice sculpture or vase or whatever. And so for me, it's a culture that's everything I'm not. They're, you know, very civilized, very polite, and very delicate. And so I kind of am just enamored by the entire process.
I remember the first time I went to Tokyo, and the interesting thing, without getting too deep because this is about you and not me, it was very eye-awakening for me in that visiting the Tsukiji fish market and then having a plate of the freshest sushi I've ever had was just very eye-opening. And I think that the thing about Japan and Tokyo specifically for me is just how much the city moves. I wouldn't say without you, but it just like New York, it has a purpose and a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think a heartbeat is an important part of it, and it has what I would say just blows my mind is the level of detail, precision, and respect that everything is given.
Yes.
You know, my wife and I were leaving in a taxi from a hotel, and in the rearview mirror, we saw that the woman who closed the door for us was still bowing. You know, this we've been driving away for 10 minutes, you know, but just because we don't see it doesn't mean she's not giving that level of respect that she would usually give. And, you know, you see that in the sushi, like you see that in the fish. Every piece of fish, it's not just somebody chopping things up as quickly as they can so they can throw out as many sushi boats as possible. It's like one piece of fish cut at the angle so that the meat, you know, is as tender and soft or whatever texture they're looking for as possible. And it's the same with drinks. It's the same with everything. And so that is something that really is like special to me. I just think it's really cool.
Yeah, I think Tokyo has a lot of that. Just these layers that you can peel back on the city.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to step aside one more time, and we'll be back to go through some last questions with Gilbert and sum it up. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast. The Now Boarding Podcast is brought to you in part by No Jet Lag. Don't let jet lag get you down. There are flight crews, sports teams, and business executives all around the world that sing the praises of No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag is the leader in jet lag management for the last 25 years. Don't let jet lag spoil your next trip. Visit nojetlag.com to get yours today. And we're back on the Now Boarding Podcast. We're going to hit some lightning questions with Gilbert before we run out of here. And he's assured me that he's got some really well thought out answers. We'll have to grade him on those when we're done to see if he did a good job or not. All right, so let's run down the list. Coolest destination you visited. Is it Japan or is it somewhere else?
I have to say, as a kind of on a whim type thing, we went to Bali last year, and Bali's really cool. Love Bali, all that stuff. But I saw this picture on Airbnb that blew me away. I was like, this can't be real, because it was a villa with an infinity pool, but in the background was one of the major volcanoes on Bali, like across the water.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
So this island of Nusa Lembongan is about a 30-minute ferry ride, and the only boat company is called Rocky Boat, which I just, you know, was instantly, okay, I have to do this. Like, it's the Rocky Ferry, you know, Rocky Boat Ferry Company. It's taking me to this island off of what most people would consider a very, you know, remote island if you're coming from the U.S. And it was everything that it looked like it would be and more, you know. So the villa slept like 6 people or 8 people, was less than $300 a night, had its own infinity pool. They had a person that was giving massages for $7 US an hour, like properly trained masseuse. And then we had, for the group of us, we had dinner cooked for us, and it was either $30 or $50 a night, but that was for the chef, the ingredients, and the cleanup. And it was a really special place, because whereas Bali is very mainstream, it's, you know, eat, pray, love, and people with lots of tattoos go to find themselves even more. It felt really special, and it's being kind of discovered, and it's been discovered if you ask a lot of people, but to me it still had that kind of really rustic feel where you felt like you were in a really special part of the world.
Yeah. As a side note to folks who are tuning in, there's no question Bali is one of those places that's truly special, and if you do it right, can be done without getting anywhere close to breaking the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially like we were saying earlier with the flight deals that you're seeing now.
Yeah.
You know, I covered flights earlier this year. I think they were $330 round trip, like from and I think one of them was from the East Coast under $400.
Yeah, and food and wine.
And once you get there, you would struggle to spend $50 a day.
That's the thing. Food, wine, like you talk about $7 an hour masseuses, everything there is just remarkably affordable.
Yeah. No, it's a cool place. And when we went that extra 30 minutes off of the mainland, It was special. So yeah, for me, definitely the coolest destination I've been.
Awesome. All right, next up, favorite credit card. Great noise.
Yeah, let's trademark that noise. We can sample that into this podcast in the future. It's really tough to say. The one that I do find myself using the most is just the simplest. It's the Chase Sapphire Preferred. It seems very easy.
Yeah.
It does a lot. My wife and I are not crazy big on credit cards. We have them. We use them. If it's a great sign-up bonus, we'll probably take it. But the three we keep in our wallet primarily are the four, I guess. City Prestige, Chase Sapphire Reserve, Chase Sapphire Preferred, and the Freedom. Used to have MX Platinum. I still think it's a great card. Don't have it anymore. I do, as more and more I accumulate a lot of points from flying anyway, I don't need the airline miles as much. I do appreciate the Hyatt transfer partner, of course, with Chase. But then I also really love the fourth night free benefit with Citi.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for my wife and I, most of our flights, we're getting on points anyway. I'm accumulating miles at a rate where I don't really need to use the credit card points for airline miles. And so I'm looking for the most kind of instantly redeemable hotel experiences, savings, whatever. I like the flexibility of booking any hotel pretty much with City Prestige. But then, you know, like every other blogger, I love the Andaz Tokyo. And so, you know, it's nice to just convert some Chase points for that, because it's one of my favorite hotels.
Yeah, Park Hyatt at Tokyo is definitely one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
All right, so favorite airline.
this is another one.
Gilbert has some interesting noises. Let's just say that.
I fly mostly with British Airways. Favorite might be a very strong word, but they represent most of my travels. Their elite status is not the best, but for my needs, it's very helpful. So I have gold status, so I can use the first wing at Heathrow, which is my home airport, and they go to the places I want to go direct. So for me, it's awesome. I respect and admire the airlines who've really stayed unique, haven't devalued their charts, even though they could probably to any great extent. Japan Airlines would be one of them. You know, sure, they have surcharges on some airlines now, but their charts have pretty much stayed the same. I laughed earlier this year. There was a devaluation of like 2,000 points for like 120,000 point first class reward or something. It's like, we're very sorry, but this is going from 120,000 points to 122,000 points. It's like, we're cool, you know. Like, I love the tech stuff. That's my passion. So I love the airlines that are embracing things like biometric boarding and who are pushing the passenger experience to the next level. So I think, you know, the Middle East carriers have been really cool. Singapore Airlines has been really cool with the passenger experience stuff. But then you look at Lufthansa with what they've done with the biometrics and a lot of the stuff in terms of the general airline process. And I respect that as well.
Quick side question. We'll call it 3A in the lightning side. What's it like to have Heathrow as your home airport?
It's pretty cool. I have to say I love Heathrow. Some people hate Heathrow. Because the bathroom,
raising my hand.
The bathrooms all look like they're from a hospital from the 70s. But aside from that, I find that it's a fun airport. It's even if you don't have lounge access, there's lots of great shops. You know, they have all the kind of quintessential London shops. They've got the Harrods and, you know, Burberry and whatever else you're into. And so you can really kind of browse for a while. And it's and they have great food. Like they've got Gordon Ramsay's plain food. I find the Terminal 3 lounges to be the very best, perhaps only beaten by Hong Kong in the world. You've got Cathay Pacific, Business and First, Qantas Business, British Airways, Virgin Atlantic Clubhouse. Like, that's a pretty tough repertoire to beat in one terminal. So I'm a fan.
I digress, but I really did want to hear Gilbert's answer on that as Heathrow, the home airport. Favorite hotel chain?
I love the brands within certain chains. I love Andaz. I think that's a really cool brand. They represent my style as a traveler. And I like the Luxury Collection. As I said, I'm not a big business traveler in the traditional sense of, you know, Tuesday through Thursday meetings and big convention cities and stuff. So for me, I'm really interested in the Luxury Collection, kind of unique property that you know, holds a certain style, or for an Andaz that is a bit more kind of quirky, design-focused, because I don't like a grand lobby with 500 rooms. I like, you know, kind of an interesting space with 250 rooms or something like that, or less, ideally. But
all right, last one of our lightning questions. What's one place in the world that's still on your – I hate saying bucket list per se, but what's one place in the world that you haven't visited yet that's really want to go to?
Yeah, so – it's got to be South – I mean, I've been to South America, but I'd really love to go deep into the mountains. You know, I think I'm a big wine fan. I love Malbec.
Yeah.
So, you know, somewhere between Chile and Argentina into the Patagonias, I'd really love to go deep in there. But it's one of those where I know there's a couple hotels that I would love to stay in. They're like $1,000 a night, which is beyond my maximum budget by quite a lot. And so I want to do it, but I want to do it really right. Because it's the kind of view that you, I think you could wake up and die happy in one of those places. And so that's the place I've got to get to.
Well, let's hope you wake up one of those places but not die happy there just yet.
And if you keep clicking the ads on my blog, I just might.
All right, parting shots. What should people know about you and God Save the Points?
I want to help your travels. I want to make things as simple as possible. I share a lot of deals. I share a lot of specific points uses. I like the lifestyle of it all. I'm very active on Twitter, for better and worse. I will try to keep it better now that you're listening. I apologize in advance for anything I say or any political offenses I may cause to you. But, yeah, that's where I'm most active. Instagram as well, then godsavethepoints.com, my site. One side note with that, we did a new design this year, and I want it to be more like a news reading experience. So if you just care about the deals and you don't want to hear me ramble about loyalty programs and my feelings about, you know, should I have gotten this upgrade or not, you can just click deals and all you'll see is deal posts. And if you want to learn about points, you can click points and loyalty and you'll get that. And so I think you can tailor my blog the way you'd like it to be. And that's my hope with that.
Well, I think that's a great exclamation point on a fun 20 minutes or so with Gilbert. This has been one of our fun new episodes of the Now Boarding Podcast. You'll find it living at boardingarea.com. You'll find other interesting bloggers just like Gilbert talking about the things that they love and the types of travel that they aspire to do. If you have any questions, you can find us there. Until then, we'll see you next time on the Now Boarding Podcast.